You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Doors bringing us back here on Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday. Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him coming up at noon. The Hasselbeck brothers have been doing a lot of hits on ESPN this week, Tim and Matt, but we'll have Tim at noon. Our quarantine question of the day on our Twitter account, at 1025.
And by the way, Darren, before you unveil the question, we must say that this is a great song by The Doors, but Touch Me is really not the message we want to be conveying, right? Touch me, babe. I mean, we need to maintain the 6 feet, right? I mean, that is the message.
Yeah, you do not. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's very true.
Right. Thank now, you. We do not believe with what Jim is saying right now that this is not true.
Right.
We don't do that. We had a lot
just
of fun.
Just want to provide the public service, you know, of trying to convey the right message.
Yes.
I mean, we're not trying to slip in a secret message to go opposite of what is the line that we need to be stressing here.
That's why I played the instrumental.
And then apparently.
Right. Very good. Smart thinking, Elijah. Make sure you go with the instrumental. But this is not a subtle message behind the scenes.
Well, the Civil War soldiers that are currently live at Elijah's house have not been practicing good social distancing skills. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. We bring in Andrew Marinus, best-selling author. His latest, Games of Deception, the true story of the first U.S. Olympic basketball team at the 1936 Olympics in Hitler's Germany. We had him in studio to unveil that not that long ago. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, doing my best to stay busy, keep the kids occupied. How are you guys doing?
Well, we all find out what truly our bond is with our family during these times, don't we?
You got it. I've been playing a lot of Nerf basketball with my son, Charlie.
Yeah.
And he's getting to that point where he can beat me, so that's not too much fun.
Did it sadden you to to hear the news that the Olympics, they're going to postpone it till next year, which, you know, it's hard to believe. I mean, none of us were alive the last time they had to do this. Of course, it was during the wars in the 40s, the last time they had to cancel Olympics. They're postponing this one until next summer. But what did you think when that news came out?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it saddened me. I mean, I think it's the right decision. It's just crazy that we've reached this point. I never imagined that I would live through something like this, but I don't see how you could have thousands of people coming from all over the world to a sporting event right now. So I think they made the right call for sure.
How are things going with the books? Obviously Strong Inside and this one, you've received so much attention, great books, attention to detail. What has been, because I don't think we've done a follow-up since we initially talked to you right as the book came out. What's been the reception you've got from people about Games of Deception?
Oh, it's been great. Before all this coronavirus, I was traveling around the country quite a bit, going to mostly middle schools and high schools, talking about the book, which I really enjoyed. You know, part of my reason for writing sports-related books is to try to get kids like me who maybe only read sports magazines as a kid, you know, like interested in reading books. And I love that when I go to a school and a teacher or a librarian will come up and say, you know, this kid loves to play sports or they love to play video games, and we've had a really hard time getting them to read, but, you know, they read your book, and that means a lot. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is write nonfiction, true, interesting stories that involve sports, but also involve something more important. You know, so with the Perry Wallace book, it was civil rights. With this book, it's sort of the early days of Hitler's Germany and what the world was like at that point. And so the basketball is the hook, but then the historical, the social message is there too for those kids. And so I've really enjoyed it. I've had a ton of visits canceled, you know, rightfully so, but I've been off the road, you know, for the last 2 weeks, and all my events scheduled through pretty much through June at this point are canceled. So you hope that kids are still having access to books. And I know schools are doing such a great job with their online curriculums, and a lot of bookstores are doing, you know, curbside pickup, so you can basically buy a book and get it without seeing or having to deal with another person. So I think books will get out there, but it's an interesting time as an author where that sort of that side of the world is all shut down.
Yeah, I flippantly said yesterday on the show, times like this, we're doing things that, you know, we just didn't have time before. We get caught up in the hustle and bustle, and everything has come to a screeching halt. I said, you know, it's got to make people like Andrew Marinus and a lot of authors out there, you know, smile a little bit, because maybe this is going to be an opportunity for all of us to go back and grab a book off the shelf and sit down and read it now, because things aren't that pressing these days.
Yeah,
we're all at home. And so
I know, you know, with you guys having me on, that's much appreciated. And I know there's some radio stations. I was on a show in Los Angeles yesterday. You guys know LZ Granderson and Keyshawn Johnson have a show out there, and they've started a book club because they have nothing to talk about, he said, for 4 hours a day. And so they're reading Strong Inside in L.A. right now, which I thought was pretty cool.
Wow. That is very cool. By the way, our question of the day, we had a lot of fun, so I'm going to pop these off, run these by you real quick. So yesterday we had a great response of the three of us tweeted out, you know, some memorabilia that we've got in our homes because we're all at home, and we asked people to tweet a picture of their favorite memorabilia, and of course the response was overwhelming. I'm sure you've got something really cool that you hold near and dear to your heart. I don't know if it's something with the Brewers or
yeah,
Perry Wallace or something, but what would be your your sports memorabilia?
Okay. Well, I have a letter framed on my wall. I don't know if you guys remember Harry Dalton. He used to be the general manager of the Brewers back in the early 80s when they were good, when I was a 12-year-old kid. And every year I would send a letter to him with my predicted batting order and statistics for the starting lineup of the Brewers. And, you know, it was always like everybody was going to hit 350 and hit 50 home runs with 150 RBI, like ridiculous stuff. But he wrote me a letter back saying he would keep an eye on me and someday I would work in the major leagues, you know, and I did. You know, I worked
at
the Tampa Bay Rays for a year. So I've always loved that letter. I've got it on my wall. I also have a goofy thing. Cy Young for the Twins. Made these bobbleheads. They're not life-size, but they're not little bobbleheads either. They're probably 3 or 4 feet tall. And he gave them to all the coaches on the Twins. And you all know Steve Little, who used to coach for the Twins from Nashville. He put this up for auction at a national RBI auction maybe 15 years ago. And I guess they didn't really bid on it, so I did. And I've got it. So staring at me right now is this almost life-size Johan Santana bobblehead that's signed by him too. I was hoping he'd make the Hall of Fame. This thing would be worth a lot of money, but
yeah,
it didn't turn out that way. Once you got to your Mets, Willie.
Yeah, broke the arm. Speaking of, you know, now we mentioned him. He hurt his arm. Of course, we just had the Noah Syndergaard news yesterday that he's going down with the Tommy John.
Yeah. You know, I should also mention my dad. You know, he's an author and journalist, and when he would interview people when I was a kid, I would always ask him if he could get an autograph, you know, if it was someone famous. And he'd always explain to me, like, no, that's, you can't do that as a journalist, ask for an autograph. But he did an article about Muhammad Ali, and he broke his rule. And Muhammad Ali didn't just sign an autograph. He drew a little sketch of a fight against Frazier or Foreman. I can't remember. I think it was Joe Frazier. And him in the ring and the fans all around, and signed it to me. And so I have that too. That's probably my most prized sports possession that I forgot about.
Mm. Wow. That's fantastic. How about I phrase it this way? If you could pick up one book right now and read it, that's not yours, what would you read?
Yeah. Well, there's two that I'm reading right now. One with the Nashville connection. It's Tyler Kepner's book. You know, it's called K, and it's a history of baseball in 10 pitches, I think, is the subtitle. And Tyler's a Vandy guy. It's a really fun book about baseball. And the other is it's either called A World Beneath Their Feet or The Earth Beneath Their Feet. I wish I could remember the exact name. I don't have it in front of me. By Scott Ellsworth. And it's about it's a true story of the race to be the first to climb Mount Everest. There were Americans, Germans, and British mountain climbers all hoping to be the first. And it's just it's a fascinating book.
Talking to Andrew Marinus, author of a couple books, local writer here. And Andrew, I'm wondering, I've sent you some of the YouTube access that anybody can get of some of your favorite Brewer teams from those early 80s that you mentioned there. You've got time to watch the entire 1982 ALCS now against the Angels from start to finish with Keith Jackson on the call. You can do it now. You can relive those
days. I got to do it. So it's funny you said that. Last night, for the first time since 1982, I watched the Brewers-Orioles last game of the regular season where they were tied and the winner would win the division. And it took place in Baltimore. I was a Brewers fan. My dad and I, every time the Brewers came to town to go up to Baltimore to see those games, that was a four-game series. The Brewers only had to win one of them to win a division. We had tickets to the first three games. Brewers lost all three of them. I was a 12-year-old kid, just like as depressed as you could possibly be. And I remember sitting there watching that game on Sunday, which we didn't have tickets to on TV, and the Brewers obviously won that game. So I watched that on YouTube last night, and it was so much fun. Like you said, not just to see the Brewers in their great blue road uniforms, but to listen to Keith Jackson and Howard Cosell on the call. That was a lot of fun. I also watched the Georgetown-Houston NCAA championship game. Living in D.C., we were Georgetown fans at that time, and that was the first time I'd rewatched that game since it was played in 84.
I enjoy doing these things. I know as a historian, you do as well. Some people aren't as big on that, but we certainly have time to do that. Now, I'm curious too, Andrew, my kids right now are in different areas of the house, as well as Aaron. Aaron says to say hi. She's in a different sector trying to do some right. work herself. But there are some schools that are trying to, in some form, do some online stuff. My brother does this for a living up in the New York area. You know, media as a teaching tool is basically how you would say it. You've done a lot of this, you know, just going from school to school to introduce your book. I'm wondering if there's any schools out there that, you know, in some Skype method or something, they could have you virtually, you know, talking to a group of people about your book and that sort of thing down the stretch of this school year.
Yeah, I think that'll happen. I've heard from a couple schools that I was scheduled to visit, one in Wisconsin, that said they would like to do something like that on the same day that I was supposed to be there. And I would love to do things like that. If there's anybody listening that as a teacher or has a kid in school that maybe is supposed to be studying World War II or U.S. Civil Rights era, I could talk about either one of my books. Be happy to do it with any sort of Google chat or Skype or Zoom or whatever works for a classroom or for a school. There's also, I tweeted this out yesterday, an organization called School Library Connection had already created a great teacher's guide to go along with Games of Deception. It has videos related to the 36 Olympics, other books that students can read that are related to that topic. And so if people go to my Twitter account, they can see the link to that with a lot of online resources.
All right, I got one for you. Yesterday we had Joe Fisher on, and we were telling our favorite Woody Woodenhofer stories, you know, the brilliant football mind on the defensive side, always was good for some laughs, for sure, as Joe shared some of his favorites. So you were working in the sports information department, the media relations, as everybody knows it now, before you went to the Rays. What's maybe your favorite memory of Coach Woody?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just in general, he sort of harkens back to a time when it seems like coaches had so much character, you know what I mean? And weren't necessarily, they weren't on Twitter or Facebook. They didn't have to worry about like everything they said or did getting out there to the whole world. So I don't know if somebody like Coach Woody would really make it in today's highly scrutinized era. But I just remember him being just a friendly, fun-loving guy who was a defensive wizard. I mean, those teams, we had no offense at Vanderbilt, but we were still in every game. Because of the defense, I think my biggest memory that stands out is actually not that positive, but it's when we almost beat LSU and we're going for two at the end of the game and got a delay of game and then during that penalty came out and got another delay of game and then got the extra point ultimately blocked. That's sort of my strongest memory of the Woody era. On a positive sense, I know that my mom came to a practice once, and Woody drove her around in a golf cart and made her feel like she was the most special person there at that practice that day. So I appreciated the way he took care of her.
He loved that golf cart. There's no question. He was all over that golf cart.
He did.
We're talking to Andrew Marinus, best-selling author. And Andrew, as I listen to this conversation, you know, I think the thing that stands out to me and the question that comes in my mind is as we go down memory lane and we're reading, whether we're reading books, your books, or watching old sports, do you think that we come out of this as better sports fans because maybe we appreciate some of the moments that we've forgotten?
I think that's a great point. Yes, I think so. I don't know. Do you guys, when you're watching these replays, does it almost seem like it took place in another world or on another planet or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like the idea of these 100,000 people just even being in the same stadium together, or I was watching a Egg Bowl game on SEC Network last night and the manager's like squirting the water into a player's mouth. And I'm like, all these little minor things that we take for granted that would seem so unusual. Oh, you can't do that now. I think it does make us appreciate these moments, the value that sports brings to our lives, even if it's not the most important thing in the world. It's just a great part of life, and it's a way that brings people together, brings happiness, and creates these memories. And I do think that we'll appreciate all of those aspects more going forward. I hope so.
I'm about to probably start drinking heavily as I've got MLB Network on my television right now.
I told you not to turn it on.
Uh-oh, which game do we have? What do we have today?
Game 7, 2016 World Series, bottom of the ninth, tied at 6. Or actually going to the top of the 10th.
Yeah, the freaking rain delay's coming, right?
Yeah, and
yeah, they're past the rain delay, so they skip.
Well, that
past.
Is the beauty of the replays. You can skip the rain delays.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Right. My problem as a Brewers fan is, how long is it going to take before they start showing Brewers replays on MLB Network? You know, I mean, they're going to show every Yankees Red Sox game ever before they get down to the Brewers.
Oh, great. Like, I didn't remember a base hit to start the 10th. Gosh. This is going to be painful.
Maybe
this...
they'll show some Packers games. I'm lucky I'm a Packers fan.
Andrew, continued success with the books. You have an idea of what's next?
Actually, yeah. This downtime has been good for that. I'm finishing up my next book.
Oh, you're finishing up. Okay.
Yeah, so it'll come out a year from now. It'll be called Singled Out. It's a biography of Glenn Burke, who is the first openly gay Major League Baseball player. He played for the Dodgers and the A's in the late 70s, died of AIDS in the mid-90s. Really interesting story. It was a lot of fun for me to interview old baseball players from the 80s and the 70s as I was working on this. And I can't wait for it to come out. I've really loved writing it.
Oh, wow.
Who are some of the notable people that you got a chance to interview who, you know, for people our age? Of course, Chase is a little younger than us, but me, you, and Darren are roughly the same. So these are all the players that we grew up, late 70s and 80s, the era we're talking about. These are the players that played with Glenn Burke.
Yeah. So my favorite name of the players I interviewed was Shooty Babbitt from the Oakland A's. And what's crazy about Shooty Babbitt, like, that's a name you totally remember, right? He played less than one major league season. And I mean, I couldn't remember names of guys in the last 10 years that played parts of one season, but Shooty Babbitt to me is like he played 10 years in the major leagues. I talked to Mike Norris, a pitcher for the A's. On the Dodgers, the biggest names were Davey Lopes and Dusty Baker. And my favorite interview was with Dusty Baker. He was, at that point, it was before the Astros hired him. He was scouting for the Giants in Asheville, North Carolina, watching a minor league game. And he said that would be the best place to meet him. So I drove over to Asheville, and he said I had an hour. We ended up talking for almost 3 hours. Hotel, great stories about playing with the Dodgers, about Tommy Lasorda. One thing about Glenn Burke is that he and Dusty invented the high five together. So he told me that whole story. It was the game of the 1977 season. The Dodgers already had three guys that had hit 30 homers. Dusty Baker had 29. J.R. Richards pitching for the Astros, and Dusty has to hit one off J.R. Richards. Four players with 30 home runs. And so, just like out of a movie, it's not his last at-bat, but his next-to-last at-bat, Dusty Baker finally he hits the home run, and Glenn Burke comes running out of the dugout with his hand up in the air, and Dusty slapped it, and the Dodgers had a picture, and they sort of coined the term high five and used that as their marketing phrase, you know, and so that was a moment in baseball history that Dusty was able to tell me about.
Wow. Good stuff, Andrew. Really appreciate the visit. Well, we will definitely talk to you before the new book comes out a year from now. But thanks for doing this. You guys be safe, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds good. You all too. Take care.
All right, that is Andrew Marinus, best-selling author. The latest one, Games of Deception, the true story of the first U.S. Olympic basketball team, the 1936 Olympics in Hitler's Germany. Of course, his first big, big hit, Strong Inside, the story about Perry Wallace. I have tweeted out, guys, a picture, a fuzzy picture of the shirt I am wearing today. We'll discuss on the other side. I want you guys to look at it and see if you have any guesses. And we'll also throw out our question of the day. We had so much fun with it yesterday. And a Titans wide receiver has signed with somebody. Was it the Titans or somebody else? We'll tell you about that, too. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.